this valley that lies coldly before you. Cast the shadow you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time all the sorrow broke more than just your heart, and reciting all those verses just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. Instead of asking why did it happen, think of where it can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. When answers aren't enough, He is there.
Thank you, Shelley. Well, we are honored tonight to have Pastor Pichardo with us. I think you just, was it your 8th anniversary? 8 years ago, he went and started Harvest Baptist Church in Daly City, California. Been there many, many times. Always encouraged to go there. They're doing a great job. He has a great group of folks there. And he was in town for the wedding, so we have an opportunity to have him tonight. So why don't we give Pastor Pichardo a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Myers. Thank you, and also the staff. Thank you for just being faithful. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, let's all stand, and we're going to give honor to the Word of God. How many here you have a King James Bible? Amen? Amen. Let's raise that sword. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let me just read this one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and then we'll pray. The Bible says here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for the many, many blessings that you've showered upon this church. Thank you for the leadership, the faithful members. I pray tonight that you please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Speak to the hearts of the people. Your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. Again, what a privilege to have this opportunity to be back. This is our sending church. And God allowed us to be trained here. I have with me my family. My son got married last Friday. And Could you imagine my wife calls Mike? It was a honeymoon. Come on now, amen. But church, I would like to just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your love for God and love for God's house. I remember a pastor gave this advice, and I want to give this advice to church people. Very simple advice. He said, members, if I'm going to give you advice, it's this. Pray much, talk little. Pray much, talk little. The problem is we talk much and we pray little. Hello? Pray much, amen, and just talk little. I read this illustration about the devil having a yard sale. And the devil was selling these tools. Hatred is one. Envying is one. Jealousy is one. Pride. Some of you bought those yard sale. Hello. Lying is one. Deceit is one. But there's one of that tool that was not for sale. And so someone asked why. Because this is very, very effective. And that tool is discouragement. Because everyone can be discouraged. Young, old, men, women, rich, poor, educated, or not. Maybe tonight you're going through some discouragement. In our text, Paul was going through some trials and affliction. Notice in chapter 2, in verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. In verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part. So here Paul was experiencing some great trials to the point of discouragement. In fact, according to a Census Bureau, 4,000 churches are closing their doors each year compared to 1,000 churches that are starting. 1,400 pastors are leaving the ministry each month. It seems that quitting, throwing in the towel is the easiest way out. Paul is giving us some lessons here. I want you to see in our text, that verse, verse 16, I want you to see that three words there that will be the title of the message. For which cause, here it is, the first three, these three words here, we faint not. Notice in verse 1, the last part of verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, notice again those three words. We faint not. Say those words, please. We faint not. The word we faint not, it means don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Let me give you this tonight three reasons why we faint not. I pray that I could be a blessing tonight, be an encouragement. Three reasons why we faint not. First of all, we faint not because of the ministry. Notice in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Let me remind you tonight that this church, this ministry, is not your ministry. It's not anybody's ministry. It is God's ministry. Amen. Amen. Harvest Baptist Church in Daly City, that is God's ministry. I want you to see what Paul says here. Therefore, seeing, notice the word, we. I love that word, we. Amen. In the ministry, it should be we. It is not just the pastor. It is not just the staff. It is not just the Sunday school teacher. It is not just few families. We. Amen.
Paul says here, we, it means every member should be involved in the ministry. Every member should be praying for the ministry. Every member should be concerned for the ministry. Every member should love the ministry. Every member should give to the ministry. Come on now, we need to say louder amen there. Amen. Because this is God's ministry. Paul says here, therefore, seeing we, you see, we believe that the Bible is the word of God inspired. Amen. It means every word. Notice the next word here. Therefore, seeing we, notice the next word, have. I love that word. Amen. Because the word have here, it is a possessive verb. The lesson is this: we need to take ownership of the ministry. Take ownership of the ministry. Take responsibility of your ministry. We were here last Tuesday for the wedding, so we flew from JetBlue down to a Long Beach airport, and of course we got this car rental. How many here love car rental? Amen. I love to drive new car. Amen. The smell, car rental is good because unlimited mileage and so forth. Amen. If you spill that coffee, amen, that's okay. Amen. Put some French fries in the floor. That's fine. Amen. Thank God for rental. That's why there's a rental car. Amen. Now you do it in your car. Hello. You have the Ten Commandments there. Thou shalt not eat. Thou shalt not drink. Thou shalt not tax. Amen. But thank God for rental. Now what's the difference with your own car and the rental? What's the difference? Ownership. Hello? Ownership. The same idea. Paul was saying here, you need to take care of your ministry. Therefore, we have this ministry. Take ownership of that ministry. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I remember 2004, 2005, all the staff, remember that for 3 weeks, we will come to a church with a work clothes and we're going to work with that sprinkler system. Remember that? I mean, after that month, if somebody will step on that grass, we're ready to, amen, punch those guys, amen. Why? Because there's that sense of ownership. I remember when we were painting that building, when we were beautifying that building in Daly City 3 years ago, we gathered the men for our work days, and they would paint and paint. And once somebody touched the wall, I mean, that's the end of their life. Amen. Why? Because there's ownership. I remember we have a lady. She has this gift of arranging flowers. Every Sunday we have fresh flowers. She will arrange three different arrangements. One in the pulpit. There's one in the our hallways and so forth. Every Saturday, she would spend hours and hours decorating those. If someone, somebody, one of our young people would go and touch the flowers, this lady would say, "Rrr, rrr." It's like a tiger. She was saying, this is my ministry. Hello. I got this. Don't bother me. Take ownership of the ministry. Paul was saying here, we have this ministry. God gave us this ministry. Take ownership of the ministry. Last month, we ordained 2 more deacons. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, the ministry is growing. That's why they have some deacons. Someone says the ministry is not an option for Christians. The ministry is a privilege. If you are in the ministry, friends, don't take it lightly. Hello? Don't take it lightly. Because this is God's ministry. I remember Pastor Trevor will always say, the ministry is great. The ministry is great. Could you imagine if all the pastors, the staff will come here, you know, we're dragging our feet, you know, oh, I'm the ministry again. No one will surrender to the ministry. Let me say, friends, let me tell you, every time I would go to my office, every time I would step on our pulpit, every time we have a service, it seems like I have a spring in my shoes. I mean, I'm always excited. I would raise my voice, amen. We have a beautiful sound system just like what you have. And I will tell to the guys, hey, get that, adjust my microphone. Because I'm excited to preach. Why? Because I was just thankful that God called me to the ministry. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. He was the founder of China Inland Mission. He said, there are three stages in the ministry of God. There are three stages in the ministry of God. First, it will always start with the impossible. I believe that's what happened to Harvest Baptist Church in starting days. When we were starting, people will discourage, you cannot build a church there. That is a preacher's graveyard. It's very expensive there. You're not going to have a building. It will always start with the impossible. I remember, when these are old plans. You know, people are saying, that is impossible. He said, there's three stages in the ministry of God. It will always start with the impossible. And then he said, the second stage will be difficulty. From impossible to difficulty. Maybe the church tonight is maybe your building situation. Maybe your finances or pastor's health and so forth. Difficulty. He said three stages in the ministry of God. It starts with the impossible. And then secondly, difficulty. But third, it's done. It's done. Pretty soon that building will be done. Hello. Why? Because this is God's ministry. Amen. Amen. We faint not because of the ministry. Because of the ministry. Secondly, I want you to see secondly here. We faint not. We faint not because of our message. Notice in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Amen. We faint not because we have a message. Our message is Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That is still our message. He's the way, He's the truth and the life. That is still our message. He's the Redeemer. He's the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That is still our message. He's the Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. That is still our message. He's the bread of life. He's the door to eternal life. He's the good shepherd. He's the resurrection in life. That is still our message. We have a message. He's the Almighty God. That is still our message. He's the great I am. He's called the Word. He's called the Lord of glory. That is still our message. He's the anointed one. That is still our message. The Lamb of God. That will take away the sins of the world. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That is still our message. We faint not because we have a message. You know, Satan is trying to silence our message. Notice in verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the small letter G, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan wants to hide the gospel, to blind the minds of the people, lest the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We faint not because we have a life-changing message, amen. This city needs your message. Notice in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The church is a lighthouse. The church is a lighthouse. We started our radio ministry last January. KDIA 1640, the light for San Francisco. We called our radio station Harvest Time. Amen? Harvest Time. The Bible says in John 4:35, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It's harvest time, friends. Amen. It's harvest time. We need to keep on knocking on doors. We need to keep on sharing the gospel. We need to keep on preaching Christ. Friends, we have a message. Amen. Our message is powerful. Our message is timeless. Our message is relevant. It is a life-changing message. Somebody say amen. Amen. We faint not because we have a message. Last Sunday, one of our ladies sang a special. First time we heard Sister Mona. A lot of our congregation, half of the congregation is crying because they know the testimony of this lady. 4 years ago, we got saved through our door knocking, soul winning. For 20 years, she was an alcoholic. She cannot even hold a job for a month. A life that is messed up, tattoos and so forth. But when she got saved, it was a 180-degree turn. First time she was able to get a job. I said, Sister Mona, be faithful to God, and you should be the hardest worker there. Sure enough, after a year, she was promoted. After another year, she was now the supervisor. I said, Sister Mona, give another year. You will be the manager there. Give another 2 years. You will be the owner there. Amen. What a testimony. Let me remind you, friends, our message is powerful. Life-changing message. We faint not because we have a message. Last year, I got a call from this lady. Are you the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church? And I said, yes, ma'am. How can I help you? This lady was very rude. She said, please don't put tracks on my door. I tried to explain, you know, we're just giving you the gospel. Let me explain to you the gospel. And you know what this lady said? Whatever. Very rude. And then she said, pastor, if you put your tracks again in my door, I'm going to call the police. And I said, whatever. In my mind, amen, I said, whatever. But you know, I would rather have people say, please don't put tracks on my door, than the people of our community would say, does that church care? Could you imagine neighbors here would say, does Pacific Baptist Church care? I want you to understand, friends, we faint not because God gave us a message to preach. It is a life-changing message. I want you to see as our last, we faint not because of the ministry. We faint not because we have a message. But lastly, I want you to see here, we faint not because of maturity. Because of maturity. You see, if we're going to quit every time we encounter some trials, some problems, we're not going to reach that maturity. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be complete in our spiritual life. Notice what Paul says here in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. God allowed Apostle Paul to experience those trials, those testings in life, and it resulted in spiritual maturity. By the way, that is the goal. Every pastor's dream, every pastor's prayer is that the members will reach that maturity. We faint not because God wants us to reach that level of maturity. Paul says here, we are troubled, it means the pressures of life on every side. We are perplexed, it means there's no way out. He says we're perplexed, but not forsaken. We faint not because God wants you to reach that level of maturity. If you stop to grow, you will start to die. Because every living thing will grow. Hello? God wants you to, if your spiritual level is 5, your goal is to be 6. If you're 6, your level, your goal is to be 6.5, to be 7. Amen? But God wants us to reach that maturity. You know what is sad? As a pastor, you were seeing members, they've been members since the time of Moses. And still, number 3. 1 year, it's going to be 3.5. The next year, drop to 3 again. Hello? We have so many, we call this in our church, Gerber Christians. Hello? Come on now. Hello? God wants us to reach the level of maturity. We faint not. Because God wants you to reach that level. That's why there's a schism in the body. That's why there's this and this. There's this whispering campaign. There's this. Because it's baby Christians. Gerber Christians. God wants us to reach that level. Notice in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, live out your faith. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We faint not because of the ministry. What a privilege. We faint not because we have a message. It's a life-changing message. We faint not because God wants us to reach that maturity. I would close with this story. There was this daughter that was about to give up. She was struggling. Marriage, finances. She called her mom, Christian. The mother said, I want you to come. Come to the house. So she came. The mother brought her to the kitchen. The mother took 3 pots, filled it with water, and then turned that stove. So 3 boiling pot there. And then the mother put on first carrots. She was trying to teach a lesson. The second, eggs. And the third, coffee beans. And when that boiling point reached that boiling point, the carrots that was hard became soft. People that are, discouraged, when they reach that hardship and the trials, testings, it became soft, ready to quit. The second is eggs. These are looks fragile, but because of that boiling water, it became stiff, hard, just like a heart that is hard, bitter. And the third is those coffee beans. The coffee beans, when they reach that boiling point, it changes the water. It brings aroma, fragrance. I'm thinking about Starbucks tonight, amen? I mean, that water was changed, the flavor. It means it gets better because of adversity. Let me ask you tonight as I close. Are you carrots, eggs, or coffee beans? Paul says here, we faint not because we have a ministry. We faint not because we have a message. We faint not because God wants us to reach that maturity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.